What's Right with Nick Wright is a rapidly growing podcast from the Fox Sports Podcast Network. You may know Nick Wright from co-hosting FS1's First Things First. This podcast gives Nick a chance to develop, deep dive, and defend his sharpest opinions. During the show, Nick faces off against a ticking clock, a team of producers, and even his own family to try and get his points across. New episodes drop Monday, Thursday, and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This might be one of the dumbest teams I've ever seen.
Silly, stupid, moronic, whatever you want to call it. Boneheaded.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We have to play better situational football.
The Rich Eisen Show.
What can you do to make that happen?
Work on
today's guests: two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Long, Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins, writer and director John Ridley, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Hey everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live on the air here on the Roku channel in Los Angeles, California, live on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate Sirius XM Odyssey. We are live, is basically what I'm saying. There's three games left for everybody in the National Football League regular season, and things are getting tight. We have got as much on the ball to try and tell you what's going on, whether it's our eyeballs or, yes, later on in the program, crystal ball. You're going to crystal ball it in this NFC playoff picture that's awful language. Tight. Awful tight. We got three guests on this program today. Chris Long's going to be joining us in about 18 minutes' time in his usual Monday spot. We missed it yesterday. He's going to be joining us today right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So we've got a whole full complement of games from Week 15, the craziest week I've seen in quite some time, to talk about with him. For instance, in terms of crazy games, how about the quarterback who led the 33-point comeback for the Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins?
Hey, now.
Will be joining us in advance of a Christmas Eve contest that could very well be a playoff preview. Giants at Vikings. So he'll be joining us in hour number two. The Academy Award winning writer and screenplay writer, now huge in the comic book world, John Ridley, will be here in studio hour number three with his latest comic from the DC Universe. He will be joining us in this program. He's a diehard Packer fan, so there's lots to talk about on this program. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. What's going on?
Great. It looked really cold last night.
It sure did. And I've just visually, I was getting myself ready for calling that Saturday night Christmas Eve game, the Raiders at Steelers, and feels like -5.
Yeah.
Good to see you over there, my friend Jason Feller, in for DJ Mikey D. What's going on?
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
Got a little something there.
Yeah. Oh, you got a little menorah. Yeah.
Day two for you guys today? Yeah. Day two? It'll
be three.
Night three.
Okay.
Yeah. We do things in nights.
Got it.
Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. And the we is not the collective we. Me and EJ Felly, the Jews. How are you over there, TJ Jefferson? What's going on?
I'm stupendous.
Very good. Good to see you. Good to see everybody here on this program. The Green Bay Packers. To make this analogy, like Don Corleone. They've taken 8 shots, and they're still alive. Still alive. They've taken 8 shots.
You think I could have got to the Don before?
They're still alive. The Green Bay Packers. Freaking Green Bay Packers, who everybody left for dead at 4-5. They beat the Chicago Bears going to bye week, come off the bye week, and beat the Rams. They're 6-8. And you take a look at them. Are they still perfect? Are they still missing some throws? Are they still not on the same page? Alan Lazard took full credit for the Aaron Rodgers interception last night. A pick that Aaron Rodgers never throws, like way over the head of his receiver, directly into the gut of a waiting defender.
It was really bad.
And Alan Lazard said he had bad body language. He should have been where Rodgers was thinking he should go. And he gave Rodgers a very bad look. And Rodgers went for the other look, and that's the only blemish on Rodgers' night, essentially. Touchdown pass. Aaron Jones runs one in. A couple for A.J. Dillon, who couldn't finish the game. And I do hope he's back in a very short week. Well, actually, it's a full week. They play on Christmas Day. So it's just a short week, not a very short week. But hopefully he is back for that Christmas Day game. That is way bigger than it looked 2 weeks ago when everyone was talking about those Christmas Day games need to have some flex in them. Tom Brady taking on maybe Trace McSorley. Not the apple of everybody's Christmas eye, and certainly not the Broncos versus the Rams, who just got eliminated last night.
Brady needs a win, Rich. So if it's Trace McSorley, it's Trace McSorley.
Understood. It's pretty big for Tampa.
Yeah.
But in terms of Packers versus Dolphins, that's a pretty darn big football game because the Packers are still alive. They're sitting there currently at 10, at 6-8, 2-7-7 teams in front of them. And a Commanders team at 7-6-1. Man, that one. That one for the Commanders might serve them very well when it's all said and done. Again, we're going to crystal ball it later on. But for the Packers, they must win out. And as for Aaron Rodgers, watching them play defense, yes, against a banged-up Rams team that is starting Baker Mayfield for the first time. Don't forget, John Walford started the win on Thursday night against the Raiders. No Cup, no Aaron Donald, no offensive line, no shot. They were game, but the Packers got it done. And Rodgers walked off smiling. And he knows he's still got a lottery ticket in his back pocket that he's yet to rip up because they still have a shot. This is Aaron Rodgers after the game.
See, I don't know. I mean, look, before the Bears week, we knew we had a bye afterwards. And those of us who sometimes peek ahead knew that we had to win five and then have a lot of things go our way. So we won two. And just about everything we've needed to happen has gone our way. Just about, right? So, things are looking up.
What went their way? Seahawks losing at home to the Carolina Panthers. That went their way. Mm-hmm. What also went their way? That, the believe it or not, that the Commanders and Giants didn't tie again. By the way. That went their way. I guess in a way you can thank Carl Johnson for flagging Terry McLaurin after seemingly telling me he was fine on the line.
That's why it was crazy to think that Rodgers should have been sat for Jordan Love.
We're not there yet. Just put a pin in that sense. What else went their way? I guess the fact that Detroit's the only thing that didn't go their way. What really would have gone their way is if the Jets had not let Brock Wright run 51 yards untouched on 4th and inches and then had a much better final 2 minutes. But Detroit won. And then I guess, turning to what you're saying, TJ, that they didn't sit him. And that Rodgers wasn't like, my thumb's broken, I'm 4-8, I'm out.
Yeah.
And they still have a shot. What is their shot? I looked it up. They got to win all three. They must. If they do not win all three, they're toast. 9 losses is no bueno. You could go to any playoff generator you look at. 9 losses ain't cutting it. 9-8 and getting some help. That's what they need to do. They've got to go to Miami and hand Miami a 4th straight loss.
Ooh.
And if Miami shows up with the same game we saw in Buffalo, which is Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill scoring and Raheem Mostert running for 100 yards. Does Green Bay have the offensive firepower? Can they avoid the mistakes of Lazard and Rodgers not being on the same page? Can they get the same out of Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs now that he's back? And will Dillon be healthy? And can Aaron Jones and Dillon provide 3 touchdowns? If they can, then they can win that football game. And then hope to stop Hill or Waddle and make sure that Tua doesn't just plant his foot and just get all the yak from their passing game. They lose one, they're out. If they win three, then they've got to hope Washington loses two of three. That's what they got to hope. They got to win all three, their last games against Detroit, and then Washington, with their six losses currently, losing two of three, finishing up 8-1, and their 9-8 would put them in. Of course, the Giants are sitting there at 8-5-1. If the Giants lose all three, they're 8-8-1. That would help. Packers win all three. Giants lose all three. And then Seattle loses two of three.
All possible, man.
Because Seattle's at Kansas City, home against the Jets, home against the Rams.
You going to rule anything out in this crazy-ass season?
Detroit's at 7-7, a game in front of them. Detroit's already beaten Green Bay. But, if Detroit loses to Green Bay in that final game in Lambeau Field, and Green Bay does, in fact, win out, they would have the same division record, the same conference record as the Lions. And that's when I just throw it to the folks at 345 Park Avenue with their slide rules and everything else.
Wait,
out.
What's the third tiebreaker?
I mean, you've got the Google machine in front of you. I guess it would be common opponents or something like that. I don't know. That's where you really have to turn to a computer to figure this stuff out. But they're still alive. 1,000,000% still alive. And as for the Rams, they are now freshly eliminated. And, I mean, that Christmas Day game is going to be a tomb, quite frankly, with Denver coming in. I mean, they're the hotter team. They just won with Brett Rippon. I mean, and they have to be competitive. And you're hearing all of this conversation about, well, Sean McVay was thinking of retiring last year or leaving the team last year. He re-signed, and since then, the spots in television booths that he would have slipped right into, what a monster contract, by the way. Amazon would have paid him a lot, and had Fox not gotten, I mean, had Fox not decided to break up Buck and Aikman, it's entirely possible that ESPN could have hired Sean McVay, and I don't know who would have called the games there. But those jobs are filled now. And the Rams are one of the best jobs in the National Football League. Sean Payton reportedly wants to coach in Los Angeles if he returns. He would like to coach in LA. For a reason. That building is amazing. The facilities are great. Who the hell wouldn't want to come free agency to come out here? Certainly if McVay's the coach. Look what he did for Stafford's career, look what he did for Odell Beckham Jr.'s career, look what he could possibly be doing for Baker Mayfield's career. Why wouldn't you want to go play for Sean McVay? As long as he still has the desire to coach, and apparently what the Rams are paying him, somewhere in the neighborhood of $15 million, and to use the Jack Walsh phrase from Midnight Run, that's a pretty respectable neighborhood. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in his head. He did come on the show last week, as you know, and he started talking about how this season has made him take stock in his own potential shortcomings and what might be going on with him. This can't be fun for him. How about Brian Allen, the center, going out one snap in last night? I mean, it has been a total dumpster fire on that offensive line since the minute they started playing football this year. Right down the tubes. No Stafford, no Kupp, no Aaron Donald. I mean, and no first-round draft choice this year either. But as the 49ers proved, all you need is the right draft choice, maybe even the final round, to make a difference. So if I'm a Rams fan or I'm the Rams, I'm just, you know, you take the temperature on Sean McVay. I don't think, in the same way that you're looking at Brady saying, why would he step away to go take the job that he already has in the booth when he's performing at the same level that he's performing? We also don't know what it takes for him to perform at that level, we assume. You look at Sean McVay and go, I don't think he's less than a coach at all this year. I know he said that he needs to do a better job, X, Y, and Z. I mean, what? Making sure these guys don't constantly keep getting hurt?
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right. And this happens all the time. These seasons happen. It's just kind of a throwaway year. Guys get injured. It's not going your way. You're like,
that's the way I'm looking at it.
Screw it. Let's just come back in 23 and see what we got.
That's right. What makes your run even more impressive. The Patriots' run is the fact that they didn't.
It lasted 2 decades.
How is that possible, man?
Well, they didn't win for 10 years.
Yeah, but you were still.
Win it all it for all. 10 years.
Win it. Sorry, I'll rephrase. They didn't win any championships for 10 years.
But they never had a season like this, though.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, you guys were always in the mix.
Which is what I think his point is for 20 years.
You just never you never fell off.
Yeah,
there quite was, the way that.
There was no Hail Moron in those 2 decades.
There was not. There was not.
So I look at this season. It's just a lost season. You chalk it up. Would it be great if they had that first overall pick? Of course, because it's a top five. And anybody who sits there and says, boy, this is really going to hamstring them, guess what they're doing on draft night? Just looking in the case.
Yeah.
And looking down at that
polishing
walnut that they have for a Super Bowl championship ring. That's what they'll be doing. And then looking at Stafford saying, you want to keep playing again? And Kupp will come back and Donald will come back and everyone could sleep on the Rams next year. But why would McVay leave coaching in this spot to go get a studio job? Because he's not strolling in a booth right now. I don't know. Unless it takes a significant amount for him to actually do this. So it's just one of those seasons for the Rams. And the Packers are still alive. And later on in this show, I will crystal ball the NFC playoff picture for you. Also on this program, we'll talk about Jalen Hurts and his shoulder injury, which might put Gardner Minshew in shotgun and under center against the Dallas Cowboys. That's what we'll discuss later on. There's a team that has totally fallen off the radar screen, and they're sitting there right in the wild card mix for sure in a conference. I want to hit on that. Bryce Young had a fascinating comment about why he's playing in his bowl game when it's not a college football playoff bowl game. There's you at 844-204-RICH, the number to dial as well. Chris Long, when we come back, his 2 cents on the wildest week we have seen in the regular season in maybe ever. 2-time Super Bowl champ, Green Light podcast host, Chris Long, when we come back. What's Right with Nick Wright is a rapidly growing podcast from the Fox Sports Podcast Network. You may know Nick Wright from co-hosting FS1's First Things First. This podcast gives Nick a chance to develop, deep dive, and defend his sharpest opinions. During the show, Nick faces off against a ticking clock, team of producers, and even his own family to try and get his points across. New episodes drop Monday, Thursday, and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts. You're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few becomes a few too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. Nah, you live nearby. You can make it home okay. It's no big deal. What are the odds you'll get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up, you lose your license, you lose your job, you total your car, you kill someone? Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line a day later than usual, but so much was happening yesterday. It was insane. And plus, I figured let's give him another day to talk about the Monday Nighter, if that was necessary as well. 2-time Super Bowl champ, Green Light podcast host, the delightful Chris Long back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Chris?
What's up, Rich? How are y'all?
I'm great. So, man, is there so much to talk about with you? Your best guess as to the inner monologue of Bill Belichick as things were playing out at the very end in Las Vegas, Chris Long?
How do I open an airplane door and throw the players off the plane?
That's so sad.
I'm not really sure. I mean, it's pretty unprecedented. I've never seen anything like that in my life. I mean, like, he's been through it with the Miami Miracle But this was supposed to be like a handoff, right? We're going to overtime. And, you know, Stevenson, I feel like, triggered some instinct in Jacoby Myers' brain that, like, oh, we're doing this thing as Scott Van Pelt calls it, pitchy-pitchy woo-woo.
Right.
And, you know, I feel for Jacoby Myers a little bit, but I don't at the same time, because I'm not even sure he knew the score. Like, you just, that's not, and Mac Jones has got to come back to the football, Rich. You know, he's got to come back and make a play on the ball.
Come on.
It's a joke. I can't take that play seriously. Like, I can't analyze the end of that game.
Right.
Seriously, I've just never seen anything like that in my life.
The thing is so crazy, Chris, too, and you know, too. Of course, and you know this, too. You know, the Patriots, for Jacoby Myers to not know the score, this is a team where everybody on the field in a Patriot uniform not only always knows the score, they know the down and the distance, and they know if the ball that's rolling around on the ground that everybody on the opposition thinks is incomplete could possibly be a fumble, we should get on it. I mean, don't leap for the pylon. If you're a running back, don't leap for the first down. If you're anybody on offense, they're normally so perfect situationally, and this is the most situationally boneheaded play maybe ever, and I can't compute it. I don't compute it.
And I felt bad because, like, Jacoby's been such a great player.
Him too, yeah.
And has been such a, you know, smart player for them. And it just goes to show that, like, everybody has lapses in judgment. You just try not to have them in a big way at the absolute wrong time, especially against a former assistant with the playoffs on the line and then, like, a 5-7 hour plane ride to boot after the game. That was a 4 p.m., right? I mean, this whole weekend runs together. I mean, think about how late they got back from that trip. I feel terrible. I mean, like, I'm laughing because it's, like, just the humanity.
And Bill's just like, I just got to coach it better. He's got to be mortified. I mean, like, this is so – does he take stock – Do you think where he'll just sit here and go, clearly something's off, right? And what is it that he fixes? Because everybody up in New England thinks he'll never change a coaching staff. He'll never change anything because, you know, he's loyal first and they to him and so on and so forth. What stock can you take from this, do you think, if any?
Well, I just think it's like the offense has been a disappointment this year. Mac Jones' development has fallen flat. And I think, like, Mac has kind of made that clear that, like, the setup was different for him last year. I got coached harder. You saw the embrace between him and Josh at the end of the game. I thought it was just like Bill had to wait to hug Josh.
I saw that.
Josh was hugging Mac. And just the whole thing, I like Matty P. I like Joe Judge. They're good people, and I played under both of them. But, you know, this is a production business, and you can't have – if I'm Bill, and I don't know what the motivations were for bringing them in, you know, to coach the offense. I don't know if it was a thing like, we don't want to bring an outsider in. I don't know what it was, but you can't have those guys calling the offense next year. Not that this was a product of the offensive, you know, play calling, but, you know, you're in the situation you're in because the offense their defense has done their jobs this year collectively. They're a very good defense, and you know, it's not like Mac Jones has a lot of weapons to throw to, so you need a really efficient, highly functioning offense, and they haven't had it all year.
Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. How concerned are you about the Eagles if Jalen Hurts can't go for more than one game here? What do you think?
I'm not, you know, I think they need to win one game to wrap up home field advantage, and that's what it's all about. I'm mostly concerned about, like, them handling his rehab correctly. And, you know, they'll have a bye, hopefully, and they'll have home field and all that stuff. But there is rust that's associated with, you know, a guy who's been on fire, taking a few weeks off. There's also an untold amount of, like, it's his throwing shoulder. So I don't know how he comes out of that thing. And, you know, with all the conversation about him as an MVP what he has or hasn't done this year, what's around him. I have been adamant about this. There has been nobody better at throwing the ball outside the numbers this year and deep. And it just is such a it's such an explosive element for that team. Even in the frigid temps the other day, I mean, you saw those balls he was delivering. They're perfect. And, you know, the margins, you know, obviously change a little bit if you're not completely healthy. You looked at how much they ran the ball with him on Sunday. I think 11 out of his 17 carries were design runs, you know, so 17 total times, you know, you factor in scrambles and that sort of thing. And that's a lot. I think it was one of the most, the biggest numbers of the season for him. But even after the injury, he was 6 for 9 for 102 in the fourth, including that big bomb to AJ. So, I think we can go back and say, hey, you shouldn't be, I know this guy's a weapon for you on the ground, but maybe save him for the playoffs a little bit. And maybe that's a lesson they'll learn as they go down the line with him as their franchise quarterback, because you don't want to lose the threat of him tucking and running the ball. And I'm not real big on, hey, this guy's taken a million hits this year and delivered a million hits. It just so happened that this one was really unique and the guy landed right on him. I don't want to say like, hey, shame on y'all for running Jalen Hurts. That's a big part of what he is and what he adds to that equation for them. But Minshew is a very good backup quarterback. He doesn't throw picks, and that's a big one. You know, just run the offense. And you know, are we going to have another backup situation like Nick Foles? No, because I don't think we're going to need one.
Right.
But he's going to be able to give them a lot of value. It's good that they hung on to him because they absolutely need home field advantage. I believe this team, you know, like any team, could benefit greatly from it. But with the strengths of this team, the defense, the defensive line, you got four guys knocking on the door at double digits. They're really fearsome to play at home at the Link, and so that's what you're gunning for. You're gunning for home field. And you want to be able to rehab this guy correctly so when he comes back, he looks just like he's looked the rest of the season. If I was the Eagles, and this is a little bit of a hot take,
yep,
I might consider giving some of your good players a bye this weekend. You know, don't lose another starter trying to beat the Cowboys. We don't need to beat the Cowboys. They just blew it in Jacksonville. You know, the more wrinkles you're going to need the third time you play them, don't exhaust those wrinkles. So I think I'm not an NFL head coach. I believe Nick Sirianni should win Coach of the Year. He knows best. It'll be interesting to see how he approaches this weekend, what he does show, what he doesn't show, who plays. If there's anybody on the edge, I wouldn't play him. And the frustration that might cause the Cowboys, if you go toe-to-toe with them with the backup quarterback and it doesn't really look like you're bringing your everything to the ballpark Saturday, could be really interesting.
Chris Long, two-time Super Bowl champ, giving us some food for thought right here on the Rich Eisen Show. How real are the Jacksonville Jaguars, Chris Long?
The Jags are real. I remember, Rich, feeling stupid all October because when you asked me point blank, and I had no time to think about it. Mm. I think it was in September, who's going to win this division? I think I said the Jags. And their game out now. I think Trevor's development has been awesome. And I think it's just two things. It's amazing that Urban Meyer hit him so well. Like, I have no idea how they hid this talent, how they, you know, kind of, you know, darkened his light. And this year, the polar opposite situation happens, and Doug Peterson, who's really good at developing talent, working with quarterbacks. I, you know, I've said this before when we were in Philly and Carson was having his MVP season. Carson throws really well off spot. You know, Carson threw really well on the run and made things happen outside the pocket when the play broke down. And, you know, they do design stuff to get him out of the pocket because he is such a good thrower on the run, Trevor is. And what I thought was so impressive about him is he threw that pick this weekend, and they're down, I think, 27-10 or whatever it is, and he comes right back and delivers that strike, and they just go on a run. And I think being at home, the tide changed, and it was just too much water for the Cowboys. And I really like the Jags. So are they for real? yeah, I think they are for real, and teams don't necessarily want to play them. It's proved out that Christian Kirk, and we all made a lot of jokes about the way he drove the market up,
right,
is a legitimate, you know, elite receiver. And, you know, they've killed the intermediate game, the short game, but they've also shown that they got a quarterback who, when you get behind somebody, he can get you the ball. So I really do think the Jags are scary. If they slid in, they're a tough little out, man. And they're a year ahead, too. But I do want to say this about that game. Yeah, it was not Dak Prescott's fault. You know, he threw one bad pick earlier in the game, but when he had a chance to drive them down and go for the win in crunch time, he did that. I mean, that I think was a third down, you know, where Walker barrels in there and he just kind of spins off him and rolls out and throws that touchdown. You know, it was a really great play by Dak.
No, I'm with you, Chris. And if I had to point at a couple things, it's the play call from Kellen Moore on third down when the Jaguars are out of timeouts. There's a minute and change to go in the game, and they called a very tough to complete beyond the sticks type throw, as opposed to give Pollard or Lamb the football, maybe short of the sticks, an opportunity to be in space and make that first down short of the sticks. Because at least if you complete it, you get a shot at getting to the sticks. And if you don't, the clock's rolling. And instead,
I'm absolutely with you. I mean, you know, that was a point that I made as well this week. And I mean, a couple things in that sequence, because they absolutely needed that timeout. You know, with 17 seconds left, Ingram, who might make the play of the game, like Ingram caught the ball between the hashes and the numbers.
Got out of bounds.
And, you know, by my calculations, he's running, I mean, this guy's running 60 feet with somebody hanging on his back, trying to get out of bounds, and does it in heroic fashion. And they need that timeout, because then they set up the field goal, take timeout, and they go to overtime, and they're able to win this thing. So the pick wasn't on Dak at the end of the game there. And, you know, the Cowboys will be fine. They're a dangerous team, but so are the Jags. And if they can find a way to slide in, if you look at, like, if you hear Kevin Byard's comments after the Titans game, I've been on these teams. I've been on teams that are kind of middling, and that feels like a team that just can't quite get out of its own way. They're not quite as talented as we thought they might be in the Titans. And there's a lot of frustration there. It just feels like these two teams are two ships passing in the night. And the Jags have a real chance to finish the season strong and possibly win that division.
Yeah, the other thing about my concern about the Cowboys, too, is the pass rush seems to have disappeared the last 2 weeks. It just they're not getting pressure. I mean, both Davis Mills and Jeff Driskel had their way the week before. And Trevor Lawrence obviously is playing elite, but you know, he wasn't pressured nearly as much as he needed to be. And that's a concern of mine right now for Dallas.
Well, the moving on here between Dallas and Philly, at least one of the differences, well, I've pointed this out before, I think the quarterback has played at a higher level this year in Philly. And I also think that, or at least more consistently, and I also think that the D-line's deeper. You know, the depth of the D-line, you know, Micah Parsons might be the best player up front on the field if those two teams played. He's the best. He's the lead dog. There's very few like him in the league. In fact, it's, you know, it's him and only a couple guys at the top. But you can't do everything alone. And I'm not saying they don't have other good, exciting players. I love Tank, you know, the Williams kid. They've got some nice players, but the Eagles are just, they're 10 deep. And, you know, they just roll bodies in and go. And so in a game like that, at the end of the game, when you need to win rushes, and you've been out there a while in the second half and it feels like this team has just jumped you, you need to win a rush. And you're right. I mean, that defense, that wasn't their best day.
Chris Long, a few minutes left with the Greenlight podcast host, two-time Super Bowl champion here on the Rich Eisen Show. This is Sports Talk Radio, question time. You can only put your marker on the Bills, Chiefs, or Bengals right now. You put it on which team?
Bills, Chiefs, or Bengals. Jeez Louise. I think the Bengals, when everybody's healthy, has the best team out of those three. I think Josh Allen is an absolute, like, hey, put everybody on my back. I mean, Saturday night was
epic. You know,
there's no run game, right? Their offensive line's okay. You got Stephon Diggs, but they take him away. You're having a hard time getting the ball to him. And he's still able to just will that team to win. So he's a warrior. Patrick Mahomes has got to complete 20 straight to a bunch of people that, like, you know, casual fans don't know who, you know, these guys are. Mahomes to Fortson. I remember, like, Mahomes out of the end zone threw the ball to, you know, 84 tight end, like 60 yards, just hero stuff, and he drops the ball. And, you know, these guys fumbling, and he's just having to overcome so much. Joe Burrow's not going to have to overcome as much, and they have the Chiefs' number. I don't think the Chiefs' defense is playing at a really high level. And the Bengals had nobody, dude. Okay, like, because I had bet the Bengals big, and the first half, I'm just sweating bullets, and they got no pass rush, and they're getting picked apart. And the Bucs, it was so interesting, the Bucs, it felt like they knew the magnitude of the game, and they saved up this big hard right turn in their offensive game plan, more play action, motion, all the things they were talking about, and they were picking them apart because they had no Trey Hendrickson. Hubbard went out with a calf. You know, they're missing a couple guys, and they're missing key guys, and they still found a way to win. You know, Osai came in, flashed some really nice rushes. That third quarter, Lou Anarumo deserves a lot of credit with what he does with that defense. I think they play really sound across the board to the point that they're elite, but they don't have any guys that you know, they don't have a Micah Parsons. They don't have, you know, one of these guys that's a super, superstar in the league, although I don't think Trey Hendrickson gets enough credit. And they find ways to win, man. I just think they have that find a way to win type mentality. And yeah, they're hot right now, and I might be like buyer beware, but last year when they got hot, they stayed hot.
Sure did.
So, you know, I'm not saying I would take them head to head. I'd have to see what the circumstance is when the Bengals play the Bills possibly in the playoffs. But right now, if I, you know, blindly had the three teams walk into the room and they randomized the location and played in an alley, I kind of feel like the Bengals right now.
Well, you don't have to wait till the playoffs. The final Monday night game of the year, week 17, is Buffalo at Cincinnati. And if Cincinnati wins out, you know, if they beat New England this week in New England and home for Buffalo and then home for Baltimore, they're the one seed. Because they'll have the same record, assuming if the Chiefs and Bills win every other game that they have, they will have the same record as the Chiefs. Well, I guess the Chiefs have to lose once, too. They got to tie them. They're one behind them. They need the Chiefs to lose once, and then they beat the Bills, and they're the one seed. Problem is the Chiefs have got home games against Seattle, Denver, and then at Vegas. Maybe they get, I don't know.
The Vegas game scares me a little bit.
I mean, certainly, I don't think Kelsey's going to throw one to Chandler Jones, you know, at the end.
No, I don't think so. But that team has done a better job lately in the whole Mahomes and the Raiders saga.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they are playing better football. Like, you just don't get a 10-point lead at the half. You know, play if you're the Raiders. Play everybody close, play them in phase.
Unbelievable.
And because really, they got lucky. They blew another lead this weekend. But yeah, I love watching all three of those teams play, man. And we're so lucky, you know, to have all these quarterbacks kind of graduate, matriculate, and you know, maybe Brady's not who he was, and Rodgers is having a bad year, and but we have these young quarterbacks to fall back on. And I heard you guys talking about Justin Herbert's got a chance to slide in the playoffs too.
Oh yeah, oh sure.
What a time to be alive in the AFC, man.
Absolutely. Who's on your pod this week? What do you got?
We've got Tom Segura popping on tomorrow. He's the dude. We love Tom, and
okay,
he's gonna join me and Kyle later today, and we'll pop that out tomorrow. So
where all podcasts can be acquired. Greenlight Podcast with Chris Long, Kyle, and Tom Segura. That'll be a great listen this week, as it always is.
A couple bald guys and me, Rich. I'm not going to make any bald jokes. Hey, yeah. A couple bald, good-looking, handsome bald guys, and then me.
We like those.
Will be joining me tomorrow, so come on, join the show.
We're not discriminating. We like all of them. So no. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Have a great holiday season with you and yours. You're the best. Thanks.
You too, buddy.
All right,
okay,
man.
Okay, same to everybody on set. See ya.
That's the only one and only Chris Long right here on the program. Love talking ball with him.
Love it.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. The playoff clinching scenarios coming up, along with our conversation about Jalen Hurts. Kirk Cousins will also be on this program in hour number two. That's how we're rolling the break right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. How does it work? You pick 2 to 6 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. Didn't get your picks in before the game started? No problem. You can get in the game for the second half. Sign up today using promo code FOOTBALL and get your first deposit instantly matched up to $100. Go to prizepicks.com or download the mobile app and enter code FOOTBALL to get your deposit match. Some restrictions do apply. See the website for details.
Take on this holiday season with the help of Navy Federal Credit Union. When you use the Navy Federal Cash Rewards Card, you can earn up to 1.75% cash back on all purchases. You can redeem your rewards as soon as you earn them. And using the Navy Federal mobile app makes redeeming easier than ever. Enjoy the rewards of cash back without any annual fee, balance transfer, or foreign transaction fees. There's no limitations on rewards, and they can never expire while your account is open. Learn how you can get cheer to last all year with the Cash Rewards Card at NavyFederal.org. Rates are variable and range between 12.65% and 18% APR based on credit worthiness. ATM fees for cash advances are up to $1 at non-Navy Federal ATMs. Message and data rates may apply. Visit NavyFederal.org for more information. Our members are the mission at Navy Federal, insured by NCUA. Back here on the program, Mike Tomlin just announced Kenny Pickett is starting for the Steelers on Saturday night in Pittsburgh, PA, against the Las Vegas Raiders. I will be in the booth with Mariucci, Kurt Warner, and Michael Irvin. All four of us are calling that game.
It's a fun game.
The night game of Christmas Eve. The entirety, or the bulk, I should say, of week 16 is on Saturday, Christmas Eve. A lot of early, like short weeks for the NFL. There's three on Sunday, one on Monday, and then obviously one on Thursday. We'll talk Jaguars and Jets a little bit later in this program because it's a big anniversary for us Jets fans, that Chris Brockman likes to point out. We'll talk about that.
Congrats.
And so we're gonna be there. It's going to be frigid. It's going to be cold. And Pickett against the Raiders is going to be interesting. Just two offensive touchdowns will be one more than I called with Kurt Warner in Cleveland last week. And that's kind of what I want to hit right here with you. Because with the Jaguars doing what they're doing, and I just mentioned Chris Long, hey, put one marker on either the Bills, Chiefs, or Bengals. Those are the three teams in the AFC, and Herbert's doing what he's doing, two wins for the Chargers in a row, right? Seeing what they're up to. That Chargers team now up to sixth in the seeding, and then of course you got who's going to make it in the seventh seed. The Dolphins, can they hold on? You got the Jets and the Patriots at 7-7. Can the Browns actually pull it together? And I've been talking about this Steelers and Raiders game. Whoever wins this has got a chance still at 7-8. Whoever loses this Saturday night game will be out, and that's not just hype, that's fact. But lost amongst all this are the Ravens, who I got a chance to see up close and personal. And this is a team that can clinch a playoff spot this weekend, believe it or not. Yeah, because they got 9 wins. They got 9 wins. And they could still win this division because they've already beaten Cincinnati, and that's who they go visit to end the season. So they still have the division and a home playoff possibility as an opportunity and just a playoff position, period, by winning this weekend at home against Atlanta. A rookie quarterback in his first outdoor road start. Okay. Mm-hmm. He just had a road start in New Orleans coming in. This is a defense that Yes, we'll be without Calais Campbell, it seems like. The 15-year vet limped off at the end of that game, and Marcus Peters, I believe in the series before, he limped off. He might not be there either. Those are two big guys on a defense, though. I saw this defense play in Cleveland, and Roquan Smith is a beast. I don't have to tell you that, but every single player and coach that I spoke to leading up to this game, it was like one of those Broadway marquees for a hit show. Spectacular. Unbelievable. You know,
astounding,
life-changing, dynamite. Go see it. That's what it was with Roquan Smith. Calais Campbell told me that Roquan Smith likes to call out run plays. If he thinks it's coming and he's confident it's coming, he'll call it out behind the defensive line with what the run play is and where it's going to go. He told me that to that point, Roquan Smith had only been wrong about the run once. Wow. But it's the offense that's of concern. Mark Andrews hasn't scored a touchdown since week 6. The last receiver to score a touchdown, receiving touchdown by a receiver for the Ravens, was week 3.
Gee.
And in our meetings, I didn't say this in the game, but I'll say it here, John Harbaugh told me they're in on, or still are, on Odell. I'd not heard that. It was one of those needle rips off the record moment in the meeting. Like, really? I hadn't heard that. Yeah, they weren't all right.
Remember I brought that out when we were first like throwing around where he should go? I was like, I'd love to see Lamar get someone.
Well, Odell, John Harbaugh said he personally spoke to Odell.
Really?
About it. Because they know. I mean, they need help. And the help that they're going to get is coming back this weekend, because I believe he's going to be back. They didn't want him out there with a brace and the road and the cold and the potential snow. But it's Lamar. And they're the most valuable player of 2019 is coming back, and it's going to have to be him. J.K. Dobbins looked terrific. He said he hasn't gotten that full speed, that burst yet. And as a matter of fact, he got through the line at one point, had nothing but open field in front of him, and he was caught from behind.
Yeah.
Gus Edwards and him have got that run game down pat. Lamar's got to come back and be the MVP. Because if that MVP comes back and creates so much pressure on that front seven, then maybe somebody does get open down the field and he can find Mark Andrews on a chunk play, let alone a receiver in the end zone. But this is it. You know, he's the MVP of this team. He has a former MVP of this league. He wants to be paid in a certain manner. Well, Superman's got to put his cape on for this team, because they have a chance to clinch a playoff spot this week and the division by the end of the regular season. And then who knows what in this league that just had a you never know, I don't believe what I just saw week. And he's that type of player. And that's what I saw. I mean, Tyler Huntley was a sweet kid to meet, and he's really good. Mm-hmm. And he can be two touchdowns in the air, two touchdowns on the ground like he was against Green Bay last season. He has that ability. But right now, the rest of the offense isn't as good as it was last year. It just isn't. And they need Lamar to come in and make these running plays and the eye-popping plays and run straight through people's defenses and get in the end zone and get this team's mojo back. Because with the way the defense is playing, Mark Andrews even told it to us in the meeting that if the offense plays to the capabilities that it can, they're going to start blowing people out, is what he said. Wow. I mean, the defense is that good. Since Roquan came aboard, they are top two in pretty much every category, in every category that the Niners aren't. Number one, they are. That's how good they're playing on that side of the ball. And Atlanta's, I believe, going to find that out this weekend. And then after that, Buffalo's got Pittsburgh there. And then they're at Cincinnati, and then all bets can be off. But Lamar's got to be the Lamar. That's the difference maker. That's the guy who can transform it all. And then the defense plays that the way that they're doing, and Lamar starts putting out eye-popping plays and getting in the end zone, this team still has a chance. Don't sleep on them, is what I'm saying. But they got to get healthy, and they got to get Lamar 2019 back.
How how wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
You're either growing or you're dying. I think it would be hard to recreate the kind of growth that WCW experienced between 95 and 98. This audience should be growing. The characters should be coming more, and they're not. Everybody's gradually losing audience. Now, people will say, well, but AEW is 15% ahead of where they were last year. But there's variables there. Let's see where we're at a year from now.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.